recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Larry's Rant, Raves, and Reviews. And now here is Larry.
Hey, folks, in case you didn't recognize it, history was made before our very eyes in the last few days. What happened in the Oval Office was history being made by an awesome president and vice president that was actually elected and not installed. Now, America, you're probably not used to this type of leadership, but trust me, this is exactly what we need. We have a president and a vice president who absolutely loves America, loves our people and everything about us, and they stood up for us in a very powerful way. I think the exchange between Trump and Vance schooled an evil dictator like Leszczynski in pure, unadulterated leadership. We have plenty of thoughts, so hang on for the ride. Here we go. Of course, Randy and I are in the studio, but we also have a very special guest. Terry Nance is with us tonight. Gentlemen, in my opinion, what we saw in the Oval Office was another moment in history very similar to Ronald Reagan when he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall."
Yeah, it was.
It was.
It was pretty big.
It's in the history books.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
It will definitely be there.
I think it will. And I think that Leszczynski got a schooled. He was schooled on leadership. And so it was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
It was pretty powerful.
In front of the press, in front of the whole world. And I think about all my years of being an American and voting all the times. And then we witnessed that. And it's interesting because I walked into the living room and just happened to have clicked on Fox News. And it was just as the vice president was scolding Leszczynski.
Was it?
And I'm like,
yeah.
And Kim walked in. I said, "Kim, get in here real quick."
And then you text me. I said, "You didn't turn this on."
I said, "Randy, did you see this? You are not going to believe it." And at first, I was like, oh, you know, like many people were. First of all, I was shocked. But then I love Trump, but I really was hoping, you know, in a way you would have thought that he knew the tension in the room and that he would have brought it down for a minute and then got the press out of there. And then they could have hashed it out. And I think a lot of your newscaster, a lot of people thought that. But, you know, when you go back and you look at where, and I understood where Trump is right now. And he's like, "We have done enough. We have laid it out. We're doing everything we can to save your country, stop the bloodshed." Then I don't blame him in that. And that's who he is. Like he said, it makes good television.
Well, it does. And, you know, J.D. Vance, I will be the first one to use this phrase. I got a man crush on J.D. Vance on that day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did great.
I saw our next leader, our next president, step up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that, boy, what a trade up from that guy that Trump had the first term. Yeah. He sat there like a little puppy, and J.D. Vance stood up like a man, and I think that grandma was ready to come out in him. Remember the movie where his granny, how outspoken she was?
Yeah.
You know, I think J.D. Vance was ready to open up a 5-gallon can of you-know-what and start whooping.
Well, and going back and listen to what all happened, which, like you said, you went back and watched the full 50 minutes.
I sure did. Yeah.
So what we did see on that was the body language.
Yeah.
And I know, and as a being in ministry for all the years, when you're trying to talk to someone and in the corner of your eye, you're watching the body language of someone and how they're reacting to what's being said, then that starts stirring you up because of the fact that he knew that he was being extremely disrespectful, especially to what the United States has done, and plus what Trump has done.
Well, you know, Terry, I think there's two schools of thoughts. A lot of podcasts that I've listened to on this says, well, J.D. Vance and Trump knew what was going to happen, and so they were going after him, okay? I personally don't believe that.
No, I don't
personally think that Trump and J.D. Vance was set up because Leszczynski went into meetings with a bunch of liberals from Congress, senators, and along with some rhinos that was patting him on the back and doing all of this stuff. I think they set him up and didn't realize what was going to really happen. But, you know, J.D. Vance, after he did what he did, simply said that you know, I'm sorry for this. And Donald Trump then spoke up and said, no, I'm happy it's happening in front of the press.
Right.
I'm happy it's happening in front of the country.
That way they could see it.
You know, and you know, I will tell you, I went on social media and I threw some stuff out there that said, you know, I had a man crush on J.D. Vance and that I was thrilled with the leadership and all of this. And a bunch of bleeding heart liberals, they hit my post and, oh, we stand with Leszczynski and this and that nonsense. One of them said, I sure hope that you wouldn't invite somebody to your home and then treat them that way. Well, here's what I will say, and I sent you guys the link to the 50-minute thing, right? And I said, go listen to the whole thing, because here's what America probably doesn't understand, because they're not getting it from the communist-controlled media. That was 50 minutes. It went absolutely fine for the first 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And about 10 minutes left, it broke apart.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, now I did see the body language you talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. The body language changed when one of the reporters spoke up and said, hey, how come you don't wear a suit to the White House?
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that?
Oh, yeah. Did.
You know, and I think that once that was said, boy.
Well, that's disrespectful. Come on. You're walking into the Oval Office and you're just going to almost look like you're dressed up like a hoodlum, really, just solid black coming in there like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I did, I went back, I started reading some articles from some guys over in England and some other things. But it is interesting that he was already, if this is correct, he was already promised from the Prime Minister of England that they were going to, he was going to sell the mineral rights and all to England. And so he already had a deal in the working. So he didn't sign the first opportunity he had to sign it. They went to Munich. He didn't sign the second one. So I mean, there's no question he came here with no intention of signing that. And I think he saw the opportunity to basically put his, you know, beliefs out before the American people, and but he didn't expect that from Trump.
Well, as J.D. Vance said, I don't appreciate you litigating this in front of the liberal media.
Right.
So he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, think of this. He's had how many years, 4 years, with Biden, Sleepy Joe, sitting there and giving him everything that he wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had no earthly idea he was walking into the room with a couple of real leaders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somebody that actually loves our country, that loves our people, and actually has such a reverence, if you will, for the Oval Office.
Oh, absolutely. Now, this is interesting when you look at the presidents and the Ukrainian war and all that happened. George Bush let Putin invade Georgia. Barack Obama let Putin take Crimea, and Joe Biden let Putin invade Ukraine. Donald Trump didn't let Putin do one dang thing.
No. You know? Yeah, I love
and
it.
And I won't use the word someone used.
That's not what that said.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But that's I thought that's a great statement. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, so, man.
Well, and, you know, back to the dress thing, you know, Donald Trump said, you know, I really don't even care. you know, because somebody, and he actually took up for Leszczynski when the reporter kind of picked on him.
Yeah,
he did. He said, you know, hey, I don't think you two guys even like one another, so I don't care how he's dressed.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would say Leszczynski was probably dressed better than most pastors and praise teams on Sunday morning church.
I've seen that.
I practiced that one on you guys. I'm telling you, I've had that one in my hip pocket all day.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I have.
But, and we won't go there.
You're not going to pick it up, are you?
No, I'll let that dude lay.
I almost got thrown off the praise team for showing up in a sports jacket one day. Yeah. So we want to give the Oval Office our best, but not God. Okay, I'll get off of that. You know, I think that Leszczynski actually acted like a spoiled brat. And Terry, I think you're right. He did not come here expecting.
No.
If I've ever seen a man sit in any meeting and try his best to squelch the deal, that was him.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah.
He was a smart aleck. He was irreverent. He was just sarcastic. You know, even about the suit thing.
Right.
Well, after the war's over, I'll come back and I'll have on a suit and a tie. It'll probably be better than yours. It'll probably cost more, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he starts going, and then all of a sudden, he realizes, I think he catches himself. He goes, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Did y'all pick up on that?
No, I saw it. Maybe it'll be less. Maybe it'll be cost less.
Yeah.
So I think it all went downhill when he said about the sea. Did you catch that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, you've got a big sea between you and us,
right,
and you and Russia. But
right.
wait, it's coming, it's coming.
Yeah.
And that's when Trump really let off and says, you can't tell us what we're going to happen. It's going to happen to us.
Right.
That's a threat.
Right.
Yeah.
He threatened us.
And he did.
When he said to J.D. Vance, I mean, when he said diplomacy, what do you know about diplomacy?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah,
have you ever looked at it? Ah, come on.
No.
You know, I just thought that he was there to pick a fight, squelch the deal, and and I'm not so for sure if the liberals, okay, here's Susan Rice. Susan Rice was the former Obama National Security Advisor. She went on MSNBC and was crying and whining about the disastrous behavior of President Trump and J.D. Vance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, a commie like this that worked for Hussein, you wouldn't expect, you know, any different of her. But she made it loud and clear where her allegiances lie, and it certainly is not with America.
Oh, yeah. They're all Trump haters, the most of the Democratic Party.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't make any difference if he, you know, stop the war, whatever. They'd still criticize.
Sure they would.
There's no way he can win.
He can't, with them.
And you look at Zelensky, of course, he knows what it's like to be in front of a camera. He was an actor.
Yeah.
So in the same way, though, Trump's been in front of a camera. So there's no question that immediately you can't shake Trump. He knew that.
Yeah.
You know, and so then he took over it. And in the end result, I mean, laid out the law. I mean, there was no question the law got laid out. And then I love this comment. This makes great television.
Yeah, that was pure Trump, wasn't it?
Yeah. It is a great statement.
Now, guys, I got to tell you, if I had y'all over to my house for dinner or something, okay, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Terry, you start attacking my family, mouthing off and being a smart aleck and doing this and doing that, I'm going to tell you something. I love my family.
Right.
Yeah, you can put them in the spot.
I am not going to say, hey, family, leave the room because I got to take him to task, you know.
Yeah.
I may have to pull my gun and shoot him in the head, you know, or something, you know. No, I'm going to do it in front of my family because it not only makes good TV, but I believe that Trump proved his love and compassion and passion towards America as a country and our people.
Absolutely. And if you look at it in the spiritual sense, biblical, it was righteous indignation.
It's yes.
When
yes.
That's what you're talking about. And when someone goes after your children or something is happening, you don't even think about it. Something rises up and you're going to protect your children or you're going to make a statement. And I mean, it's not that you don't love people. It's the fact that you're standing up. Same thing Jesus did when he threw them out of the temple. You know, that was the righteous indignation of them desecrating the temple of God.
Yeah.
And so he was desecrating the United States of America. He was trying to make a fool out of the leadership. And you don't do that. Not in the leadership's house.
Well, one last comment, and then we'll go to a commercial. And we'll pick up on this when we come back. I find it so sad that so many Americans have taken Ukraine's side on this issue, and it all comes down to, as you just alluded to a moment ago, it's not because they're big fans of Luzinski, it's because they hate Trump. Donald Trump.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to commercial. We'll be right back, folks. Okay.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Well, obviously, you put three guys in a small room and particularly put a microphone. We got a lot to say, so... But I really do. I think, you know, I said a podcast or two ago to Randy, I said, Randy, if Trump got on the air and told America, hey, oxygen is good for you, the liberals would absolutely start dropping like flies and die because they wouldn't want to breathe the air just because he said it.
Yeah.
That's it.
The only thing they have, and the funny thing is they don't get off of it. It is still, he's authoritarian, he's Hitler, he is a dictator, he's going to bring this nation, you know, just like Putin. Now he's a love child of Putin, basically. And so it's just everything is negative always. They cannot bring themselves to anything that he wants to do. And I believe one of the big reasons is because he's not a part of the political group. He's not a part of the Republicans, and all of them, you know.
Yeah.
He comes in as a businessman.
Yeah.
And that just makes them all mad.
Yeah. Well, you know, and let me just say this to the audience. If you have not watched the 50-minute press conference in its totality, okay, I would suggest that you do that, because all that the media is doing is taking sound bites and making it look like Trump and J.D. Vance was pounding on Zelensky. But again, the first 40 minutes was very cordial,
right,
was mm-hmm. very good,
mm-hmm.
and up until that 40-minute mark in, the last 10 minutes is where it all went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, you have to think that one of the reasons that it went this way is because Luzinski was used to working with Biden. He would go in there, and Biden in one interview actually said, he alluded to the fact of Luzinski was very pushy, was very selfish, and very demanding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I would be too if I could get $175 billion out of you.
Right.
And let me remind you, it is our tax dollars, correct?
Sure it is.
Right.
All three of us sitting here, they've sent our money over there. And it just infuriates me. You know, did you also notice... Well, let me back up. I've noticed on social media so many of the liberals being on social media taking Luzinski's side. But when you flip that coin, the people in Ukraine is taking Trump's side.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that.
Wow. I've seen more and more of it.
Wow.
Well, you have to recognize, you know, Trump said that he was a dictator. And guys, I think he is a dictator.
Well, he's taken over the media.
Yes.
There in the country.
Yes.
He's canceled no elections.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the steps of being a dictator. You control it all.
Man, I set that one up for you, and you kicked the field goal, yeah, dude. Right down the middle, buddy.
You know, did I read your notes or what? Yeah.
And the funny thing was his staff, that lady, I don't know what she did for him, but she had her head down, and she was shaking her head like this.
Oh, yes, yes.
She knew this thing was going south.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah.
And the surprising thing to me is for him to have gone right on Fox News, and he had the opportunity to bring this thing back, and they could have signed it before he left.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He didn't do it.
He had it right there.
Right.
So he already knew that he had the European countries behind him. And they don't like Trump. Only a few of them do. And so you're watching this maneuvering of things where Europe is concerned, America, and you're seeing this divide, which you and I talked about earlier. Biblically, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
In the last days, that will happen.
Right.
Europe, the old Roman Empire is going to rise up. So when I saw a lot of this, I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, he is the one that's behind. I always say God is the best chess player,
mm-hmm.
period. He knows how to maneuver the pieces. And so he is maneuvering and moving, I believe, the United States in its place, and of course Europe in its place, for the Antichrist to eventually rise up and control it. And of course everything, and I know we're not talking about Israel tonight, but everything is focused around Israel.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. we'll, mm-hmm. and the Europeans hate Israel. You know,
yeah, sure.
They don't want to have anything to do with them. So we're watching some real spiritual things take place along with a lot of interesting things. A lot of comedy.
We might disagree with a whole lot of things,
yeah.
But I got to tell you, the one agreement that we are on the same page, and that is we're on the end times.
Oh, yeah.
We are on the brink of getting out of this mess.
But I will say, it has been fun to get up every morning and go, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Well, isn't it fun to have a president that he doesn't have to worry about re-election?
Oh, yeah.
He just knows I got 4 years to pound on this, and then I'll walk out.
Oh, my goodness,
yeah. You know? So, well, I you know, here's something. You talked about the lady with her head in her hand. It says in one of these articles that I was reading, says, this is beyond a worst-case scenario for Ukraine. Commented the Telegraph journalist, and I can't pronounce the name, on the joint appearance of Lezinski and Trump going sideways, this is what she telegraphed back. This is what she said. A diplomat disaster. There is no other way to describe it. Of all the possible outcomes of today's high-stakes meetings at the White House, Lezinski and Donald Trump shouting at each other was not what one portrayed. Then beyond the worst-case scenario, with those words, months, years on careful diplomacy by Ukraine officials and diplomats went up in smoke. And when the smoke cleared, Ukraine-American relationships were left lying in the pool of blood.
Yeah.
That's what one your Ukrainian reporter wrote. Well, folks, Lezinski just has an ego that loves to hear himself talk, and he just couldn't shut up.
Yeah, because, you know, he's got the sympathy of so many nations and all and different things. But, of course, there's a lot of history behind Russia and Ukraine. But I will say this, kind of changing a little of the subject here, going back to that meeting. I thought it was very interesting that, you know, cameras got out, and then Zelensky and his team was escorted out immediately. And then Rubio and Waltz went in there and said, you're out. Get out. This is over.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people have been kicked out of the White House.
He was kicked out.
Again, that's right. Another history going down in the books.
History.
And folks, make no mistake. Don't let the communist media tell you that he left. He didn't leave. He got booted out.
Oh, yeah.
That boot went so far up his hind end, and Trump was smoking. He was smoking at the very end. Oh, my gosh. You could see the temperament.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. The only thing that Leszczynski can actually do is eventually come crawling back and begging forgiveness in order for us to help him.
And he's going to have to do that.
And he's going to have to pay the price.
Yeah.
Because, gentlemen, here's what I want to tell you. I've negotiated a few deals in my lifetime. And if you ever tell me no on one of them, that's okay. Come back. But it's going to cost you more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just giving you the warning. I've been a salesman all my life. If you think I just priced this to you for $1,000. Yeah, but that was 2 weeks ago, and you said no. I think it's worth more now. It's worth $1,200. Oh, don't sit there, Randy, and act like you've never done that.
I haven't.
Don't. No. You lying dog.
I'm going to plead innocent.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to be truthful with you, folks. I'm just telling you, it will cost him more.
Sure.
And, absolutely. You know, there is a debate right now of what's the terminology, rare earth,
right,
okay?
Right.
Now, rare earth, they talk about they have all of this, but mm-hmm. now then in some reports that I've read says that Ukraine only has about 5%. And so one report that I read said the reason that Leszczynski came into this the way that he did and squelched the deal was because he was afraid he was going to sign the deal and then Trump was going to get furious with him because there wasn't enough rare earth to make him happy.
Huh.
What do y'all think of that? Terry, you're the brains of this operation tonight.
Yeah.
Jump in. Do you have a comment?
If that's true, that would be very interesting. I really don't know, but the whole thing, Trump set him up to win, and the United States was going to be paid back,
right.
And it was a win-win situation. And we all know that if America invested and sent the companies over there to get the minerals and the rare earth and get that out, which they can't do, only America can do, and with us there, there's no way that America would allow Russia to do anything to harm that.
No.
And it's almost like I did not understand. There's no way he could have walked in there without the intention to not do it.
If Americans are there gathering the rare earth, as we're calling it, okay, there's no way that Russia's going to drop some bombs on us Americans.
Mm-mm. Right.
They're not going to come over there and start acting up because they know, oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about it hitting the fan.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it would.
Absolutely. You know, he was on the news over in England, and he made the statement. He said his mission would be fulfilled if the Ukraine was in NATO. And That's his whole purpose. That's his goal, is he wants to be in NATO. And then he made the statement that would force the U.S. to put boots on the ground.
Yep, that ain't going to happen.
And that is the thing that Trump absolutely says it is not going to happen, you know. And I fully understand Trump's dealing with Putin and the way he was dealing with Zelensky. You can't say, Putin, you're a murderer and all this. You can't do that. If you're going to come to the negotiating table, no. Like what he said, and I love what he said, I'm not for Ukraine and I'm not for Russia. I'm for America.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said he's for peace too.
Yeah,
that's what he was wanting.
Everything was about peace. And you know what he said about this, watching that battlefield from satellites. And he made the statement early on. He said, to see men blown to smithereens, obliterated. He said, the weapons we have nowadays, they're so much more destructive to the you know human beings. And he said, it is horrible. It's a nightmare. And this stuff has to end. It's got to.
Okay, let me give you a chance. Can you see if you can convince me that Zelensky even cares about his country and his people? Because I don't believe he does. Because if he truly cared about his country and the people and the soldiers that are dying, okay, if he really cared about them, I would have come into that meeting so humble.
Yeah.
And so contrite that anything that Donald Trump or J.D. Vance would have wanted to have said to me, I would have sucked it up and took it like a man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would have signed the deal right then. I would have said, sir, I've got my ink pen. It's laying right here. Uh-huh. Let me sign that. Can I sign it with you, for you right now? But instead, as Marco Rubio said, he was, I hope I can say this word because I sometimes stumble over it, he was antagonistic in the Oval Office. He was just poking the bear.
Yeah.
Now, don't come in there as the leader of your country and act like a fool and then try to convince me that you care.
Yeah, and there was no, it's very obvious, there was no humility or, you know, thankfulness at the very beginning. He didn't say any of that.
Yeah.
Now, because he's pressured, oh, I am so thankful to the American people, but he still has not apologized for the way he, acted in the Oval Office. And until he does that, they're not going to do anything. In fact, you know, as we were sitting down, I read the headline and it said Trump and has totally cut off all support.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Where did you see that on X?
It was on Fox.
Fox, was it?
I saw it on X as well.
Yeah.
And we go with Newsmax at our place. Carol watches that a lot. But I think one of the reasons that Trump actually did that is we've been calling for that on our podcast, and I'm confident that he follows us and has taken our lead. So, man,
and I'm so happy to be here with y'all. I mean, I'm so honored. Thank you guys.
That's my level of humility. Thank you so much. Hey, let me toss this story out because I owned a couple of companies ago that I used to own. I had a young man, and if I said his name, you guys would remember him, okay? And he worked for me, and he was a young man in his 20s, just got married, poor as dirt, and I hired him as a warehouseman in my company. And his name was Mike, and I recognized Mike didn't have a coat. And we're talking about in the dead winter, he's running around in a T-shirt. I said, Mike, you're freezing me to death, man. Why are you doing this? Well, I don't have a coat. I said, okay. Well, I went home that night, and I had a perfectly good, almost brand new, full-length, heavy wool top coat.
Wow.
Terry, if I'd have given it to you, you would have worn it everywhere that you wanted to go. Okay?
Absolutely.
I gave it to him. A couple of days later, he shows up. T-shirt. I said, Mike, where's your coat? Oh, he said, I gave that to my mother-in-law. I said, you what? Now, his mother-in-law was filthy rich, from what I understood. He gave the coat away.
Okay. Oh
my gosh. Now, gentlemen, my interpretation of that was zero appreciation. Zero appreciation. And that's what Leszczynski was showing in our Oval Office after $175 billion with a B of our tax dollars. And he wanted to show little to zero appreciation. Now, I just saw on X, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll throw it out there, you know, just in case it is. There was this picture of this gorgeous sports car that they said had a price tag of $18 million.
Oh,
wow. Now, I've never seen a car in my life that was worth that or anything near it. $18 million. They said that that's exactly like Lezinski's wife drives.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, he comes begging for more money, insults our president and our vice president, our Oval Office, our country, everybody in it, and shows zero appreciation, but yet he's got, and if you just, folks, go back a few of our podcasts, we covered all of his wealth, all of his riches. He's a multimillionaire.
Right. Yeah.
He has stolen a lot of this money, and you guys think that I'm kind of wild and crazy, but you know what? It's coming to pass. It's coming true, and it's starting to flesh out.
Yeah, I think, honestly, and I like Tucker Carlson. I do, and I listen to him quite a lot.
Not as much as us, though, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, let's get that straight.
Here's what he said. He said this after all that happened. He made the statement. He said, what America doesn't know is that that Ukraine is selling our military equipment and our arms on the black market, selling them to the cartels, sell them to Hamas, and all this. And it's like 20 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And he said, but that is hidden, and they know it.
Yeah.
And, of course, he doesn't like Lindsey Graham at all. And he said the reason why— Lindsey Graham, who was a friend of Zelensky, and then all of a sudden turned and threw him under the bus, was because of the fact that he knew what happened in there. He wants to be on Trump's side because of what's about to be exposed with our money. And, you know, they were doing what, fashion shows?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Trump or was it J.D. Vance who made mention of that? About spending the money.
Well, Doge is the one who uncovered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we've talked about that on our podcast. It's been out there. Here's what I would say, and then we'll run to a commercial. You know, and maybe I hope that y'all can appreciate this. Maybe not. You know, there's lessons to be learned, but I've always told my children there's what I call life lessons.
Right.
There are things that happen in our lives that we have to stop and stand back and go, okay, this isn't just something for me to learn from. This is what Dad calls a life lesson. Well, Lezinski, you just encountered what I would consider a life lesson.
Really?
Next time you come to America, show a little gratitude and thankfulness and come with your hat in hand.
Yeah, well.
And appreciate what we have done for you, because I'm going to tell you, you're listening to a guy right here on this podcast, I'd have never given him a penny.
Right, right. The Prime Minister of England made the statement, we'll put boots on the ground and France and all these countries are saying, we will do this. We will be the security. But he did say to Zelensky, we can't do it without the U.S.
Absolutely.
It cannot be done.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the next, all it takes is an apology.
That's right.
To say, I could have done this different. I apologize if I offended President Trump and Vice President. Please forgive me. And
don't forget your apology. It's not if you offended them. It's that you did. And don't forget in your apology to get one to old Larry here because you offended we the people.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go to commercial.
Okay.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
We're back, folks. And here's something, and right before we go to something new, but here is a Ukrainian-born U.S. rep, Victoria Sparks, a Republican from Indiana. Now, she says, you know, she was born a Ukrainian-born person, and she said this did not go easy on the leader of her home country after he failed his country by disrespecting President Trump in the Oval Office, and he axed a deal that could bring peace between Ukraine and Russia. She says that he wanted to play hero politics, and he was insulting to America and did a disservice to the Ukrainian people.
Wow.
Well, folks, I have to agree with her, and I've got to tell you that Lezinski basically was more focused on war continuance instead of peace.
Right.
So that's all I've got to say about that newscast. But here's what I will tell you, folks, on that. Please, and if you can't find the full 50 minutes, send me an email, because I'll be more than happy to email you the link back. Because if you'll just sit and watch all 50 minutes, there's just no way that you can stand up and for Trump. For Lezinski. Right. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, our guest tonight, Terry, brought us a video, and we want to watch that, and then we'll discuss it. Randy, roll that video.
Okay. Go ahead.
What was Putin's intention in the war? Not the propaganda that's written about this. Oh, that they failed and he was going to take over Ukraine. The idea was to keep NATO, and what is NATO? It's the United States, off of Russia's border. No more, no less. When the Soviet Union ended in 1991, and an agreement was made that NATO will not move one inch eastward. Now, what happened after 1991, the United States decided there would be no end to eastward enlargement of NATO. And the decision was taken formally in 1994, when President Clinton signed off on NATO enlargement to the east, all the way to Ukraine and into Georgia. So the NATO enlargement, as you know, started in 1999 with Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic. And Russia was extremely unhappy about it. But these were countries still far from the border. So the next round of NATO enlargement came in 2004 with the three Baltic states, Romania, Bulgaria, Slovenia, and Slovakia. At this point, Russia was pretty damn upset. So as everybody recalls, in 2007, President Putin said, stop, enough. And of course, what that meant was in 2008, the United States jammed down Europe's throat, enlargement of NATO to Ukraine and to Georgia. This is right up against Russia. And Russia protested, because if Russia decided to have a military base on the Rio Grande or the Canadian border, not only would the United States freak out, we'd have war within about 10 minutes. And a month later, a war broke out. That gets Georgia destroyed. And starting in 2010, the U.S. put in Aegis missile systems in Poland and then in Romania. And Russia doesn't like that. In 2010, Viktor Yanukovych was elected on the platform of neutrality. Russia had no territorial interests or designs in Ukraine at all. What Russia was negotiating was a 25-year lease for Sevastopol naval base. That's it. Not for Crimea, not for the Donbas, nothing. In 2014, the U.S. worked actively to overthrow Yanukovych. Everybody knows the phone call by my Columbia University colleague, Victoria Nuland, and the U.S. Ambassador, Peter Piot. Listen to it. It's fascinating.
I don't think Cleat should go into the government. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a good idea. I think Yats is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience, and, you know, fuck the EU.
No, exactly. And I think we've got to do something to make...
You don't get better evidence. Then came Minsk, and especially Minsk II. It said there should be autonomy for the Russian-speaking regions in the east of Ukraine. It was supported unanimously by the UN Security Council. The United States and Ukraine decided it was not to be enforced. There were many thousands of deaths in the shelling by Ukraine in the Donbas. And one of the issues on the table in December 2021, January 2022, was, does the United States claim the right to put missile systems in Ukraine? And Blinken told Lavrov in January 2022, the United States reserves the right to put missile systems wherever it wants. So the war started. What was Putin's intention in the war? It was to force Zelensky to negotiate neutrality. And that happened within 7 days of the start of the invasion. Ukraine walked away unilaterally from a near agreement. Why? because the United States told them to. The idea was that there would be Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, and Georgia that would deprive Russia of any international status by blocking the Black Sea. And the American senators, who are as nasty and cynical and corrupt as imaginable, say this is wonderful expenditure of our money because no Americans are dying. It's the pure proxy war. And since the U.S. talked the negotiators away from the table, about 1 million Ukrainians have died or been severely...
Wow.
Well, that was certainly interesting. So what I heard out of that, and Terry, I'm going to let you dissect the whole thing, but what I heard about, heard it was Clinton's fault.
Yeah, I mean, of course it was. But
it wasn't Trump's fault for sure.
That's for sure.
I love what he said, the rotten, cynical, basically evil senators, and the whole system is corrupt. So many ways.
Oh, you're right.
That, you know, you start, well, of course, you know, people could fight over whatever, but if you start doing what NATO did, and you were the leader of Russia, you'd do the same thing. You're not going to allow anyone on your border, and especially the United States and these countries that, of course, they have nuclear weapons. I love what he said when he said, would we do that? Would we allow it on Canada's border? Would we allow it on Mexico? Of course not.
No.
The minute we didn't allow it in Cuba, we're not going to allow it. So, you know, we always
scream,
Putin's evil. There's no question about it. But what I feel like, and I feel he's so correct, and I really wish this was brought out more on the news and other things, but the point is, they pushed him in the corner. That's what they did. And so now you've got the results of it.
Right.
So I'm always looking behind, okay, this is what happened. And I'm always looking behind the scenes of why did it happen? So if they said, hey, Leszczynski, walk away from this peace deal, the question is why? Well, those evil senators said, hey, we can money launder, you know, billions of dollars over there to you, help you out, help us out, and we can milk this thing for all we can get. What's another reason that it could happen? Does anyone have one?
No.
No?
I don't.
But loaded question?
You know, when you look...
You want to argue with me about my statement? Feel free.
You know, if I was going to give somebody $170-something billion, I would put... an American over there that it went through, not just handing them a blank check. It's kind of funny. It reminds me of the missionary things we've done in Africa. As much as we love the African people and the African pastors, you put a lot of money in their hands. It opens up the door for all kinds of stuff to take place. And so they use that money, of course. And the United States, oh my gosh, no one's that stupid, but we have proved that someone is, and that's us. It's ridiculous, you know, the waste and what they did. And there's no way to track it. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Terry, I gotta be honest with you. I expected better out of you.
Did you?
You're trying to make sense of the government. And you're asking for accountability out of the government?
Well,
this is your last time on this podcast, buddy.
He has no accountability for the government, Terry.
It probably needs to be blown up and restarted, you know. It's funny. My nephew was so strong in the stocks and bonds. He's very wealthy and all. But he told me one day everything that he did and all, he said, the only way to salvage this thing is for there has to be a dictator in America. He said, that's the only way. It's too crooked. And all the people that he was dealing with and all the money he saw exchanged, he said, it can't be fixed.
Yeah, he saw all the only inside way. Stuff.
Yeah. Of course, we know that there is someone who's going to get it corrected, and his name is Jesus. But right, until right. then...
we're along for the ride.
Yeah, we are. And at least some headway is being made through Trump and Doge and all that's going on.
Well, I don't know that we need a dictator, but I can certainly tell you, you led me to my final or to my favorite watering hole, and that is term limits. We wouldn't be in this shape if we had term limits. If we had term limits, Terry, and I preach this on every podcast, okay? If we had term limits, 2 terms, 4-year terms, that gives you 8 years to get in, do it, and get out. Do the job, get out. You can't run again. You can run for Congress, 2 terms, and you're out. Senator, 2 terms, and you're out. If it's good for the president, it's good for everybody.
Yeah, it'd be great. They're not going to do it. You know, McConnell's getting ready to retire and get out of the way.
He listened to the podcast. Yeah. I told him to get out.
Yeah. He's worth $94 million.
Yeah, he is.
And his salary's $200,000 a year or whatever.
How did he get that?
You know, they're not going to get out. Why? The money.
The gravy train.
Yeah, absolutely.
The gravy train.
And there's kickbacks.
There is.
So.
Follow the money. Which that's our theme of the show. The money, and you can't do it. You can't do it with them. They're trying to.
We've been beating this drum ever since we started, Terry, of the follow the money. And the senators and the congressmen, they're filthy rich. And they're laundering all this money back to them. And I'd like to tell you that I trust the Republicans more than I do the Democrats. The Democrats are just communists that are blatantly out there. It's the rhinos that fall behind. You talk about Lindsey Graham. Do I trust Lindsey Graham? No. Not at all. Other people like him. He's a rhino.
Right.
Oh, he met with Leszczynski before Leszczynski met with Trump. Was he in on this mess?
I don't know, but he changed his tune. I mean, from 1 minute praising him to the next minute throwing him under the bus saying, we can't deal with him.
And he needs to resign.
Yeah.
Okay? And Leszczynski said he will not resign unless they move Ukraine into NATO.
That ain't happening.
That ain't gonna work.
He said that's the only way that it'll happen. Leszczynski doesn't want this war to stop. It's a cash cow. He doesn't care about his people.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'd love for y'all to argue with me.
No, there's nothing to argue. I agree. I mean, the whole system's corrupt.
Well, then step up and agree.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's one scripture that I love that in the book of Psalms where David made the statement. He said, the wicked will dig a hole for the righteous, but God will cause them to fall in it. And so that's the hope. They've dug these holes, but according to God, they're going to fall in it.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have our hope.
Well, folks, there's 3 of us sitting in this room. We're all believers, and we all can appreciate the hope that Christ is coming and that we're going to get out of here pretty soon and quicker than what we probably think. But I will say that, this podcast, we started this because we wanted to get on here and actually talk about the things that are on our heart, on our minds, and we've got an opinion. We figured, hey, we will get out there and show it. Randy got tired of hearing about mine at dinner every Wednesday night.
Yep.
So
the wives did too.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's all we'd hear.
Randy, I gotta correct you on that. I go home and Carol's sitting there going, honey, please pour more wisdom into me.
I'm
an empty vessel.
I know she does.
Absolutely. I am a sponge. Yes,
I can believe it. I can believe it.
Well, folks, if you like what you heard today, and trust me, I got enough notes that we could have gone on for a couple of more shows, but there'll probably be something big to come on for next week.
Yeah.
So we'll be back. But be sure, and I always like to tell everybody, we're podcasters. We're on all of the different podcast platforms. You name it, we're on there. We put our podcast on the index, and it just feeds out to everybody. Everybody's got our podcast. If you like to listen and watch with video, be sure and go to Rumble, to YouTube, to X, and Spotify. We have it on there. So be sure and put us in your library. Be sure and like our page. Be sure and pay attention to subscribing to us on all of that. Follow us. Dear Lord, I can't even tell you all the social media that we're on. If you're on social media, trust me, we're on there. Go find us, Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. We're on there. Be sure and like and everything on that. Terry, it's been a pleasure to have you. Now, Terry is a good friend of ours. We've known him for years. He's a pastor. He's an author. He's a speaker that has spoken not only nationally but internationally. He's been in charge of missionaries, as you could tell by his conversation. He's a pastor and a believer. He's been in charge of missionaries, sent them overseas and overseen them and everything. Terry, be sure. And well, let me ask you this. Would you want to come back? I forget now when Easter is, but it's coming up fairly soon. Would you right. come back and do a show just for us on Easter?
Absolutely. It'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Good. Well, good. We've had fun tonight, but before we leave, tell our viewers, tell our listeners a little bit about you and where they can find you as far as all your books and your, I think you got a YouTube channel and yeah. different things. Tell them all about you.
Well, Larry, I have a real passion for the local church and leadership. And my heart is to really get people to connect with what I call the vision of the house, stand with their pastor. The pastor's the visionary. He communicates the vision. And then we have to ask ourselves, as a part, what is my part to play? What is my purpose? And so I love helping people find their purpose, not only in the local church, but in the marketplace, understanding the call of God, that everyone has a call on their life. So the Lord really gave me a book called God's Armor Bearer, How to Serve God's Leader. Wrote it in 1990. It was a bestseller. God really breathed on it. It was beautiful how God used it and still using it today. And I've written four other books after that. And so if they want my material, you can go to godsarmorbearer.com. That's godsarmorbearer.com. Or you could go to the YouTube channel, God's Armor Bearer. And I do a segment which is called 8 Minutes Strong with the Armor Bearer. And so I take 8 minutes and I just really have poured out. I am 68 years old. I started in ministry at 18. So I'm in my 50th year. Wow. And so you teach what you know, you impart who you are. And so this is my season of just imparting as much as I can the wisdom and the direction that God's given me for others.
Well, I've read your books, and I appreciate those. And when you come back, be sure and bring those books with you. And I got to tell you, 68 years old, you don't look a day over 67, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, thank I hope you so you've much. Enjoyed this. Yeah. I hope you've
Larry.
Enjoyed this show as much as I am. Randy, it's all over.
I think it is.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Come back next week.
And tomorrow starts the same.